Jaina Solo's quarters, Jedi Temple, Coruscant.
The reporters finally drifted away at twilight, after the interviews had all been conducted and the temple had resumed what looked to them like its normal, boring routine. The curious onlookers had begun to drift away in search of other distractions. Jaina was exhausted and furious. What part of her day had not been spent swallowing her pride had passed in basic hard labor, all part of Kenth's punishment for doing something he had known criffing good and well. Jaina stuffed that emotion down. He'd been right. Once this came to light, she'd known she'd be forced to own her actions and take the proper punishment for disobedience. So she had not uttered a word of complaint as she helped out in the laundry and the cafeteria, along with apprentices and staff members. Now all she wanted to do was get to her quarters and fall into the blessed unconsciousness of sleep. She was therefore surprised to open the door to her room and find Jag Fel waiting for her. The room's lighting was dim, and the table that was normally covered with data pads, flimsy, and various assorted knickknacks had been cleared. Two plates with something lavish and complicated-looking on them were flanked by gleaming silverware, along with a bottle of something sitting in a bucket of ice.
"I've been swallowing my pride all day," Jaina muttered. "I'm not hungry."
Jag shrugged.
"Well, I am. Do you know what time it is?"
"I've been a bit busy."
"I know. That's why I thought you might want something to eat. You tend to forget to fuel yourself when you're in full-on charge mode."
He rose from the bed where he'd been lying, went to her, gently pressed her into a chair, and tugged off her boots. She was so distressed by the events of the day, she let him.
"Come on, eat something, and tell me what happened. I saw the Holo news, of course, but something tells me that Javis Tyr might not be reporting the entire story."
Despite her disgruntlement, the aroma of the robusteak was appetizing, and Jaina found herself digging in as she told him about what had happened. Jag listened quietly, his eyes intent on her, offering silent support.
"I never mentioned you, Tahiri, Winter, or Mirax," she said. "I was forced to reveal Tekli, but I honestly think that was a good thing. You know how agitated she can get. I think it was kind of a relief for her."
"I agree. And thank you. I knew you wouldn't."
She gave him a fleeting smile that turned into a real one, reached across the table and laid a hand on his. He squeezed it tightly.
"Everyone who matters knows exactly what the situation is," he told her, "up to and including Master Hamner. I'd go so far as to say even Dala understands, but it's contrary to what she wants, and frankly what I think she believes to be a positive thing. Your actions helped the Jedi retain two very valuable study subjects, and that might be what solves the whole problem."
"Hey, you think my double could stand in for me here?"
Jaina said, making a feeble and somewhat wistful joke.
"She's good, but her mouth is all wrong. I don't think she'd fool Jedi,"
Jag said, looking completely serious. Jaina actually laughed. They finished the meal in good spirits and shared a deliciously gooey dessert. Jag leaned back and lifted the sparkling wine from the ice.
"And now to celebrate," he said.
"This day?"
Jaina wrinkled her nose.
"I think it needs to be buried, not celebrated."
"So far, I would agree with you. But I have something to suggest that will, I certainly hope, let this hitherto horrible day end on a very positive note."
He poured the wine into two fluted glasses. Jaina accepted, looking at the amber liquid with the small bubbles for a moment, then turning her attention to Jag.
"This better not be about the Moffs, the GA, or the Empire," she said.
"Well, then I must disappoint, because this is most assuredly about the Empire. Specifically about the head of said Empire and a joint venture he is suggesting. I think that a formal alliance between two key factions would be a wise idea at this juncture. Both parties would benefit."
He turned to her expectantly. Jaina peered at him. She couldn't fathom what in the galaxy he was talking about. He had a very odd look on his face, too, though he was trying hard to keep his expression composed.
"Have you been in negotiations with some world I've not heard about? Or are you trying to push that whole rival Jedi school thing on me again?
He blinked. A smile curved his lips, then became a chuckle.
Jaina Solo, he said, warmth lacing his voice. I'm asking you to marry me.
Her mouth dropped open.
How would this possibly work?
It was not a romantic response, but it was from her heart, and Jag knew her well enough to know that. Still holding the celebratory wine, of which neither had yet partaken, Jag replied,
You'll continue exactly as you have, of course, and so will I. Eventually, I am certain the Jedi will determine exactly what's going on with Valen, Gisela, and the others. Once a treatment is found, Dala will be severely defanged. Luke will still be gone, but this whole rather grotesque sideshow will be over. I am also certain that Luke will return sooner rather than later, with enough information on what happened with Jason to get his sentence turned over. Once he accomplishes that, public sentiment will swing back toward the Jedi. As for the Moffs, he said, frowning a little, they may think I'm a fool for love, but I actually have some very solid leads on who the troublemakers behind the scenes are.
He leaned forward, looking into her eyes.
Jaina, I love you for who you are. I have for a long time. I have absolutely no desire to curtail, impede, cripple, modify, or thwart you in any way. There is my detailed argument for this formal union. What do you think of the proposition?
Jaina was still reeling. It was all so well thought out, so precise, so Jag. But beneath the military bearing and that clipped, logical, formal presentation of a proposal of marriage, she knew that Jagged Fell was deeply in love with her. He was even nervous, she knew, as he waited on her reply.
So she gave it to him.
She sprang into his arms with such vigor that the chair fell over. But neither of them particularly seemed to mind.